Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
We're going to talk today about relationships at work. And let me tell you where this comes out of. A few weeks ago, was on vacation and was in this hotel, and there was this convention, kind of a conference going on, and I kept, you know, trying to do my cruise director work and take the kids to the pool and the beach and all that, and kept walking by these little groups of people who were there on business. And I finally got outside, and there was these three guys out there, and I was waiting for my car or had pulled up to get the girls, whatever it was, and just listen, you know, you couldn't help but hear what they were saying. And it was just this yakking about somebody else. I mean, just ripping some fellow employee or contract worker. And I thought, you know, if this other person they're talking about had any idea what they are saying about this person, this is not a good thing. And I started thinking about this, and I've asked some of you all in previous today and in previous occasions, and just kind of watched and listened. If you work in a company situation, I mean, if you're a secretary or an architect or whatever you may be, an assistant of some kind, and you're in an office with one other person, which sometimes that happens, it may be a little different. But if you've got a lot of people that you have to work around and with, this thing can get tough. And, you know, turning the other cheek, somebody's not a Christian maybe, or, I mean, this is one of the scariest things on the planet. You walk in somebody's office, and there's a big old Bible up there on their desk, or back there on the back deal. Now, I'm not saying don't have a Bible displayed, but guys, do not go putting a Bible out on your desk or a fish on your car if you're going to work like the devil and drive like the devil. This is not just some badge you stick out somewhere and say, well, because he has a Bible, he may be a Christian. Because you put this thing out there, they are watching you even harder and going to hold you to this standard. And they'll shoot you down every time. Well, the Bible, he's like, you read the Bible, don't you? Well, the Bible says this. You know, do unto others is, you know, they'll, you know, God helps those who help themselves. That's what the Bible says. You know, that's not anywhere. I've had people quote that scripture. It never even been near the Bible. That is not scripture. But you throw that thing out there and claim to be a, you know, a religious person maybe, but a godly person doesn't just have it and read it, they live it. And if you have that set of principles that you abide by, not everybody in your office does. And frankly, you're going to get shot at because you have those. And if you are not getting shot at sooner or later, something's wrong with that picture. If you step up to the plate and consistently do the right thing, not self-righteously, but just because it's the right thing to do, it could cost you your job, but there's not much of a better way to go than that. Now, if you're getting fired because you're lazy, if you're getting fired because you're a troublemaker, then that's, I mean, God can work in spite of that, but that's your problem. And you're going to have to learn something because of that. But if you're doing the right thing, I spoke with a guy, and this guy happens to be a school teacher. He was in a school situation where his boss, and I know this guy, and as the way the story ends up, you'll see that it's true. This guy is a prince of a guy, and this principal got it in for this guy, this coach teacher, and wrote this bogus deal that had him fired. He went and appealed it to the school board, and the school board's basic deal, you have to wait a year to even be heard, okay? So this guy wants to teach, he's got to wait a year to be heard. He waits for his hearing, he goes before the board, and they bump him another 8 months. They didn't get to his deal, just like that. And he's patient, he perseveres, goes to the next one, and they finally listen to him. They side with the principal, which is usually what they do in these cases. I'm not saying that's bad. They try to back up their leadership, but they didn't look at the facts. So he appealed to the State Board of Education, sat down in front of the guy who makes the decisions. He looked at his file and said, you've done nothing wrong, and reinstated him 2.5 years later. Now that is perseverance, but guys, that is relationships at work and some patience involved, and especially when you're done wrong in a job situation. Now, I'm going to read you some scriptures today. People say, well, there's nothing in the Bible about this or that or work or anything. You know, the Bible doesn't know anything about that. I'm going to bury you in stuff today, whether that's what you're after or not. Here we go. The first one I want to read you is out of Ephesians. And if you want to write this stuff down, this is for employee. You know, the great thing about the Bible and the tough thing about the Bible is this. This, what I'm reading you today, is about employees, employers, and it even covers slave relationships. You say, well, that's not a good thing. I'll tell you why I believe it is not a good thing. Because in this country, and this doesn't have much to do with anything I'm talking about today, but we're going to hear it anyway. There are times when I'm embarrassed about what has happened in this country that, quote-unquote, God-fearing people have used the Bible to back up slavery and said, well, the slavery's in the Bible, therefore it must be right. That didn't make it right, guys. The things that are written here to slaves or bondservants are written to Christians who were slaves, who had to figure out a way to get along under those conditions. It is not promoting it or encouraging it, okay? But it even goes as far, and you say, well, I'm glad that's over in America. You can go other places in the world, this is still going on, and they still need the truth and know how to live. That's what makes the Bible to me so awesome. It applies to stuff you think is obsolete. Just because it's obsolete here maybe doesn't mean it's obsolete somewhere else. But he says here in Ephesians 6:5, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. And you'll hear this repeatedly. And the sooner we figure this out, you do not work for your company as a Christian. You work for the Lord God Himself. And if you go to work thinking, I'm sick of this job, I don't want to be here, fine. You better make sure you're on the job you're on because God put you there, not because you put you there or pulled some strings. And if He's trying to move you, don't try to stop Him. A girl called my office. She calls me and says, well, I got fired today. I said, that's great. Now, then I went back and I said, now, you know what I'm saying. I said, that's the response I want to have. That's the response I want you to have. And the only way you're going to have that response, it's not that you're not disappointed and frustrated, but that once you really get through it for a few seconds, you go, you know what? God's never let me down before. He's going to take care of me now. Where else am I going to turn anyway? I can trust Him. And all this is a transfer. God's used me here. He must have another place for me. So stop complaining and scratching and clawing and trying to get all this stuff done. Just let it go. And sometimes, guys, it's just downsizing. It's just a company who's either trying to cut corners or get greedy or whatever. Who cares what their reason is? If you're here and you're there, be where God puts you and go the next thing. Don't eat up your life complaining and getting all freaked out about being moved somewhere else. Because God may need you in the next place. You work for Christ. Verse 6. Now listen close. According to the flesh, obey those, in other words, be subject to those who are your master according to the flesh, fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now he implies that being a good employee, a good servant somewhere, implies that you are doing the will of God by being that. And people say to me, well, what's God's will for my life? Be a good employee. That's what the book says. And don't just go in there as an eye pleaser. And I'm going to read you these definitions. The word eye service is some long Greek word, ophthalmodulia. Why don't you don't name your kids that? Anyhow, ophthal means eye. Anyhow, service performed only under the master's eyes. For the master's eye usually stimulates to greater diligence. His absence, on the other hand, renders sluggishness. Makes you sluggish, makes you lazy. And I have seen this. I'm telling you, I've heard about this. I think I've even participated before. You're sitting, and I've said this before, you walk through any company and watch everybody just tinkering around and on the phone doing all that, and all of a sudden here comes Mr. Jackson or somebody, and boy, everybody's up and on their computer, and hi, Mr. Jackson, and you know, they're doing all this. And you let whoever she or he is walk through that cubicle area, and they're out the door, and everybody's, you know, back at whatever they're doing. You say, well, I don't do that. That's what people watch, guys. You say, well, I want to have a good testimony. It's going to be more than a book on your desk. It's going to be you working when it's time to work, breaking when it's time to break, and being diligent. Now, I'm not saying be legalistic, some kind of nut, but just be diligent in what you do and realize that it's for God you work anyway. And in another category a little bit here, what I have never figured out is how that we will do things because someone is watching, but will not do some things because God is watching, but somehow that doesn't matter. There are things that we do in our work life and our private life that we would no more do, say, think, even participate in if there was anybody watching. But somehow we forget that God watches all the time. And He's the one we ought to care about, not eye service towards some boss as men pleasers. And this word men pleaser means studying to please men, courting the favor of men. And there's another term that's used involving the nose that I've heard people, you know. Anyhow, people who... A term used nowadays is sucking up to somebody. And you just kind of say, okay, here's the lay of the land. Here's what happens in this office. Here's who makes things happen. So I'm going to work the system. And I'm going to work hard around this person because this is the person that promotes everybody anyway. And you start manipulating your situation. You work when it's being watched. You don't work when it's not. And you figure out who does it all. And it's a big game. It's a conspiracy of sorts to get yourself promoted. You can't find that in here. Gosh, some of y'all are hating this, and we'll have very low sales on tapes, I'm sure, this deal. Yeah, you want to get depressed, listen to that one on Relationships at Work. That was a good one. All right, keep listening here. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does... Now listen, here's the benefit. What good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. No matter who you are, he says, if you do the right thing, it's not from your boss you're going to receive the right thing, it's from the Lord you're going to receive it. Another person the other day told me about something that happened in their office. They had a project, implemented some policy or something, and it saved the company. It might even gotten into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, in their whole company. This guy's a programmer in a company. And his boss, in a meeting, took credit for the whole deal. And this is a godly guy, and it was like him getting hit in the stomach, and I sat him down and I said, look, it doesn't matter whether your boss gets it or not. Whatever you're doing, it's the right thing. God sees it, whether your boss gets it or not, and God will bless you more than that boss will ever be able to bless you. Do the right thing. And the tendency is to want to defend yourself and say, hey, what about me? Look what I did. You're not working for that company anyway. They don't pay your bills. God does. He may use them today. He may use somebody else tomorrow. And we get more. Go ahead. Get that over with. You're not applauding me. You're applauding the truth. I don't need to be applauded. Anyhow, we get so afraid of a company and afraid of losing our job and afraid of not pleasing man that we just live in fear all the time. If you will go to work and work for God at work and know that He sees whether anybody else acknowledges it or not, it says here you're going to receive the same from the Lord. He's going to take care of you. You say, but I want acknowledgement. I want recognition. Then climb in your closet tonight and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You didn't work for some company. You let me use you today at work and I'll bless that. Your company, there is no watch, no pin, no bonus, no anything they're going to give you that will affirm you and satisfy like hearing Him in the still quietness of your heart say, you know what? We did what we were supposed to do today at work, and I'm using you, and people are watching you. See, believe it or not, guys, there are people on jobs, and I could have the managers, for instance, in this room stand up and go around the room and ask these questions. Not everybody's a nut where you work. If you think there's a lot of craziness going on, there are people who are wise and who watch and who know exactly what's going on, whether you think they do or not. And they watch consistency, long-term consistency. And a wise, godly manager or someone who can make promotions, and that's what they do, is going to look. People aren't stupid. And you say, well, so-and-so just deceived everybody and they got promoted. Let me tell you something. You might manipulate to get somewhere and pull some strings to get somewhere, but you better have the stuff to stay there or you won't remain there long. You say, well, so-and-so got up there the wrong way. They can't stay there. And if they do, the whole thing's corrupt probably, so don't worry about it. Maybe God's going to move you out of there anyway. Just trust Him, not the system. All right, now the masters or the bosses are addressed. And you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening. Now listen close to this, guys. If you are in authority over anybody in a job situation, cut out the threatening. That is not a motivator in any situation. It induces fear and it will keep things going a direction for a while, but you're going to have to keep threatening and keep motivating in that way. Threatening does not work at work. It does, but not long term. It will not create morale. It will not bring people together. You'll become a dictator, a hated boss, and it just does not work long term. He says, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. God doesn't care what color you are, what your title is, where you live, what you have or don't have. When he looks down and judges, he does it with no partiality. And here's the word used for that. It means the respect of persons, partiality, the fault of one who, when called on to give judgment, has respect of the outward circumstances of man and not to their intrinsic merits, and so prefers as the more worthy one who is rich, high-born, or powerful to another who does not have these qualities. God does not give raises and promotions based on what he sees on the outside. God looks in the heart. And a wise manager, you may be slick and fancy and have all the right words, but a wise manager is looking for a worker, not a showboat. Now, maybe the salesman, they're looking for showboats. But anyhow. All right, so he addresses here the employee, the employer, and if you're taking notes, write this one down too. Colossians 3, 22 through 4, 1. And he writes this church in Ephesus. Now think about this. You read Ephesians, Colossians, a bunch of different places. He's writing the same things. It's everyday stuff. He's talking to them about work relationships. He says this is part of your life. Most of you spend more time in an office with the people you work with than you do your own kids, husband, or wife. You count up the hours and the conversations you have at work compared to the conversations you have at home with your spouse or kids. You live with your family at work. If you work in some office where it's people who are mad at each other, where people, you hear all these nightmare stories about, well, so-and-so sleeping with somebody else, who wants to work in a situation where you hear that garbage all day long? And there are some companies, I'm not going to name them because it's not what we're about, but I can tell you one company in this city where it is just bedlam, huge company. And people sleeping with people, the guy who runs it's all, you know, the same deal. It's not harassment, it's just a big party. And that's how that company is run, from the top down. And the leadership puts these things in motion. There is practical stuff in the scriptures. Now, you know why people don't read this stuff? And well, yeah, that's in there, but I'm not interested in that. You know why? Because they don't want to do what it says. Because what it says is not what most people are doing. I don't want to work for God. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I keep my job. I get a check. I get my six-pack. I go home. I come back. And what else do you want? There's no one like that in here, but someone out there. All right. Colossians 3, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Almost exactly the same words. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. God sees this stuff, guys. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You say, but I've got to stop this inequity. There is a God in heaven who sees it all, and I can assure you, whatever you're wishing on your boss or someone who's done you wrong is not anywhere near what God can dish out. And what you ought to be praying is, God, have mercy on their soul, because I could hurt them, but you can stomp them. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Colossians. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now, everybody's going to love this one. We'll highlight the, make it louder on the tape. If you are in a place of hiring someone, and it is a legitimate thing that you can do, I've been in these negotiations. I talk to people who go to work in places, and I'll tell you this advice. When you go work somewhere, don't say, well, I'm probably not worth this. Don't be ridiculous, but ask for more than you're worth. Give somebody some room to come down, because anyone who is hiring or ever been hired knows that there is a bracket. And if you say, well, oh, lowly me, I'm only worth this, they're going to go, well, we got a schmuck paying that. But if you go in there and say, you know what, this is what ought to be paid. And I had this conversation with a girl. She went in and called some, not maliciously, not manipulative. She went in and stuck to her line. And the guy who she dealt with kind of blew up, got upset. But the next day he came back and said, you know what, I thought about it last night and you're worth this. and you've been underpaid. If you are in a position to do the right thing by somebody, don't scrimp, because you are doing what you're doing, and how you even hire someone and handle their pay raises reflects what kind of person you are. So he says, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair. Treat them right. And my philosophy at church or anywhere is this: if you will help people get where they want to be, you'll end up where you want to be. Instead of climbing over people and using people to get somewhere, there's two ways to change a light bulb for me. I can either say, come here and help me. Okay, let's do this. I want you to help me. I'm going to change that light bulb. Stand right here. And see, I can get him up here. Here, let me step in your hand. Now, you see what I'm saying? I can either stand him up or say, man, we need to change that light bulb. Here, let me help you. I see the difference? If I get down here and help him, he's going to say, wait a minute, he didn't step on me, I'm stepping on him. We're getting the job done, though. But his attitude and perception of me changes completely. Jump in there with him, do it with him. I don't want to ask somebody to do something I'm not willing to do. You're going to make everybody come in on Saturday? You better be there. Of course, that doesn't work. But anyhow, all right, we're going to go back to work. Speaking of work, 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 12, read that. There's some more in Titus 2, 9 to 10. 1 Peter 2, 18 to 21, if you're reading this stuff. And then James 4, 11 to 17. And I'm going to take 2 seconds and read this because I think it's important. James 4, 11. Speak not evil one of another. Now guys, you're going to have a lot of opportunity today and for the rest of your life to go to work and badmouth somebody. But I'm going to tell you what scares me about people who badmouth somebody else in my presence. That the second I walk away, I'm the next victim. Because if you are bold enough to rip somebody to shreds with me standing there and they're not there, you'll do it to me when I'm not standing there. So why would I trust you? That tells me a lot about a person. Do not speak evil one of another. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. You are not God. Let God be God. You be you. And let God take care of these things. And then at the end he says, go to now you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such such city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what will be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You ought to say this: if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Here's a great way to live your life. Work anywhere. My grandfather used to say this and made me crazy. I thought, why does he say this all the time? And I don't even say it because it hits me funny. But think it. Lord willing, we're going to go do this. No, why don't we say this? Lord willing, we're going to go do that. Because you may be gone tomorrow, and all those plans don't make a hill of beans. Be where you are, work where you are, do God's work where you are, because that's why he's put you there ultimately anyway. You get a check, but you're not there just for your check. You are there for the sake of the people who are around you. So do the right thing so they can see him in and through you in the very way that you work. That is a huge testimony that you can have an impact on somebody's life.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the Talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. And I thank you, God, that this book is so practical. It applies to who we are, where we work, everything about our lives. And Father, I pray for maybe somebody who hears this message and says, you know what, I hate work. I hate my job. I hate my life. It doesn't make any sense. I go to work, I come home, I get a check, I'm doing the best I can. There just seems to be this big hole in my heart. Father, help them understand that this God we're talking about working for and this Jesus, who really is the ultimate boss of our life, has to be made that. And that is done by establishing a relationship with you, Father, through Jesus. By acknowledging that we've sinned, we've screwed up, we need your forgiveness. And we believe that he died, was buried, and raised from the dead to pay our way, to come into our heart, to live through our lives, and to give us real life, not only just eternally with you, but abundantly between here and heaven. Father, let that relationship be established in somebody's life today so that it not only changes their work, but everything they do, all they think, all that they are. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for loving us, and we pray that you would use us today on our jobs, wherever we go, whatever we do, and that we would always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us, and that that hope would be so obvious it would cause people to even ask, what is up with you? And I pray that we'd be able to point them to you, Father. We pray it all in Jesus' name who makes it possible. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.